Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden on a Monday in December. Truth Straight Up. Brought to you by
the show. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, and Dr. Jack Schaefer, HappyTrees.co, and also Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. A lot to talk about, as always, a lot to talk about today. Dave Williams is going to be joining us. We had Vicki Tompkins on, the El Paso County GOP chair, last week, where she talked about the fact that she had been censured, she believed, as do we, unfairly by KBB, Christy Burton Brown, the state GOP chair, said she was going to appeal, as she has a right to do.
Well, guess not.
You don't. Some people have more rights than other rights. And as it turns out, if you're a grassroots county chairperson, you have zero rights. And Dave Williams will explain all of that. Also wanted to talk about some insane pictures, but as I've been saying, there's a method to the left's insanity on the border, and then also the Twitter files. We got Dave with us.
I got what I consider the brightest guy in the Republican Party here in Colorado. Maybe that's not a high standard, but nonetheless he is, and we're going to talk to him about what KBB is doing in these amber days of the Colorado GOP, which is going out full force to destroy itself. Even you thought it couldn't destroy itself more. Yes, it can.
Hey, Dave, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I am happy to be on and always share information to your listeners and help guide the grassroots movement to the promised land if we can ever get
there. There we go.
Well, last week we had Vicki Tompkins on, and she noted how
the El Paso County GOP chair.
Chair, and how this other group called the Peak, Colorado Peak Republican Party or some ridiculous name, started holding itself as a true Republican Party. It's not allowed to do that, according to the bylaws. She called a meeting, and they condemned her for it, and so then they took it up to KBB, who took it to her now truncated and crooked. Not crooked, but so riny that it doesn't matter anymore. Dave was on it. He's no longer. I was on it no longer.
Central
Committee,
the inner circle,
and so forth. So then, of course, you have a right to appeal. At least we thought you had a right to appeal.
The bond laws, you have a right to appeal
to the state central committee, which has overturned KBB a couple times. But
it's a much bigger organization too.
About 500 plus people,
as
shrinking
opposed to like
all the
20
time.
People. Yeah.
But Dave, tell us about your conversations with the Divine One.
Well, you know, I won't get into too many aspects of the conversation because I do want to try and honor a little bit of the nature of the private conversation. But I will express to you that there is, you know, unlikely there's an opportunity for an appeal on Vicki's part. And, you know, Vicki absolutely, according to the bylaws, you know, has every right to appeal, you know, a decision that the executive committee has made, because she was the one that brought the controversy. I mean, she talked about this last week with you guys. She brought forward the controversy, and then the censure that they had, and then the decision on the use of the Republican name. Those two things were born out of, you know, Vicki's, you know, controversy petition she submitted to the state. And so absolutely, you know, according to our bylaws, you know, that's up for an appeal. But I think the larger discussion that we need to kind of wrestle with here is what does that mean for the state party? You know, as I took it, and this is certainly a question I pressed, you know, Christy on, well, wait a minute, don't we believe as Republicans, don't we believe that ultimately power is vested, you know, in the people? Right. In this case, it would be the central committee of the state, the county chairs, the vice chairs, secretaries, the bonus members, the people that actually empower, you know, the executive committee, the people that empower the state chair. you know, aren't those people the very people we have to be accountable to? And don't they get a say, in fact, a final say on right. every issue that the party wrestles with, especially one where it's, you know, laid out clearly in bylaws with respect to an appeal? And from the answer I got, it's not always the case. And I think that's a dangerous position, you know, that our party needs to push back on. Now, ultimately, you know, we're talking about executive overreach here. We're talking about, you know, the people at the top dictating how it's going to be, and that the rank and file members, you know, they don't get a final say, you know, on this instance. And that's the troubling aspect, because if you draw the line here, that how's that going to stop a future chair or a future executive committee, you know, misinterpreting the bylaws to read that, well, in this instance, the state party, you know, rank and file members, they don't get a say. This is ultimately tantamount to tyranny, and we shouldn't stand for it.
No, and I think that's a crucial thing. And I think, let me point out a couple of things that Vicky told us about. So Vicky is grassroots. Okay. This other party that decided to call itself the real Republican Party in El Paso County, it's all your usual rhino suspects there. Not only, though, was Christy Burton Brown didn't really do anything about that, she was actively supporting them. She was going to their events. She was showing up at their things and not the real Republican Party's things. So it was clear from the beginning whose side she was on. And another thing I want to point out is, at the same time, our state treasurer, who worked with Christy Burton Brown, was actively campaigning for a Democrat, Dick Elsner. He didn't get censured. His wife is the Republican Party chairperson in Park County. She was actively campaigning for a Democrat. She didn't get censured. They censured Vicky. And as you said, so it's clear where Christy Burton Brown came on this. And Dave, did she, and I know you can't, it was a private conversation, but did she have any explanation for why she was handling this whole thing this way?
Yeah, I mean, she looked at various bylaws in the state, and the state party bylaws, and basically interpreted, you know, her decision, you know, by, in my opinion, misconstruing what certain provisions in those bylaws stated. I don't agree with her analysis. I mean, I think it's pretty clear in black and white, and we've seen this, right? We've seen it with many party controversies. You know, before Christy Burton Brown, there was Ken Buck. You know, he had to deal with two party controversies.
Right.
You know, Vicky Tonkins was the subject of one of them, and Vicky won that one. She brought her case to the state central committee, and they sided with her. And then Eli Bremer, if you guys recall, in Senate District 10, where he engaged in fraud along with other establishment players to fix an election in Senate 10, if you will. He brought his appeal to the state because the state actually did the right thing in that instance, and the central committee sided against Eli Bremer, right? I mean, these are issues, you know, where the state party is fully capable and empowered, you know, by the very nature of who they are to decide these matters. And now we're facing sort of to borrow from some of the alarmists in Washington sometimes, but a constitutional crisis. But in this term, in this issue, and
threat to democracy,
this is a bylaws crisis, right? You have a chair who is denying a right of appeal, and it's not just a right of appeal. She's not only denying the due process of the person who's a party to this controversy. She's essentially saying that the state party rank and file members do not have a final say. In other words, the actions of the chair, the actions of the executive committee are not accountable to the state central committee members. And that's a problem that we need to reconcile with, and we need to fight for Vicky's due process rights, regardless of what you think of the merits. The argument itself. She has due process rights, and ultimately we have the right to hold their actions accountable.
That's right. Let me tell people, since some people joined late, we're talking with Representative Dave Williams about Christy Burton Brunt. I think you put it well. It's tyranny is what we're talking about. It's, you know, she's got various committees and who are elected. And, you know, if you can have the chair just say, oh, no, I interpret that bylaw to mean I can do whatever I want. And I think this we've sort of seen this from Christy Burton Brown. I mean, this is not a shocking development, I would say. Would you, Dave?
Well, no, I mean, given the past past actions of her, no. I mean, there's another instance where she clearly violated bylaws by asking Tina Peters to drop out of a raid. That's
right.
You know, there's a neutrality provision in our bylaws for all the party officers, and that's a clear instance when she violated it. You know, she may try to argue that it's not a violation, but it is, right?
Right.
I mean, there's no other way
you can always
for
argue
to interpret that action.
My good friend Ben would say, well, this is what the bylaws say. And I said, they don't care what it says. They'll interpret some other clause differently, and you'll have to battle it out with them. It's not just, oh, the bylaws says A. You can always find something else to claim that, well, that this overrides that. This interprets that. This gives a different nuance to that. It's just the usual garbage.
Well, I mean, we have to remember if Christy gets away with doing this, what other future chair is going to come along and say, you know what, here's a precedent here. Now I want to push the line. I want to see what else I can get away with and claim that the voters don't have the final say. That's not America. Well, that's certainly not the Republican Party.
Right.
I don't know why we would, you know.
Well,
why
I think you know why she would do it is because she's afraid it'll go against her, right? I mean, that could be the only reason. Otherwise, why even put herself?
No, because she just doesn't like to follow rules. She doesn't believe she has to, and she's to date been given incredible leeway. And this is part, I think, Dave, of a much larger one where I've really noticed this week that the establishment donors have claimed as hard as they can that they still control this rump party and want nothing else to interfere with it. I mean, we saw today in Colorado politics, it was John Caldera who reports to...
He's an independent, by the way.
Yeah, he was not even a Republican, but reports to Phil Anschutz, saying that, oh, no, hey, the one thing we can't do is have a closed primary. This would be a disaster. That's such a joke. He wrote 8 months ago, 10 months ago, a year ago, saying the Republican Party is on a verge of a huge comeback if only they don't close the primary. If only, because they are so close. We are on the verge of a tremendous victory here. And of course, it was no victory at all. I mean, so you have him. Then you have Jimmy Sangenberg, who also reports to Phil, or Phil helped pay some of his bills. Saying that we can't let these rabble-rousers try to take control of the party.
It would be us. Because the establishment has done such a great job, by the way, because we're winning overwhelmingly.
These guys will never, you know, really put their name on the line, right? You never see them being candidates. You never see them actually running a full-fledged, you know, political operation. You know, what the best thing Caldera can... you know, point to is, okay, we lowered the income tax by a small percentage, you know, here and there. Okay, well, you didn't run that campaign, number one. And number two, no one likes high taxes. You know, why don't you try to do something that's
states
a little bit harder?
The richest person, Phil Anschutz. I mean, saying.
Phil has a huge stake in that, and so the donors, everybody else, not so much. It's just amazing to watch them still kind of flutter around saying, you know, they'll put Dick Wadhams on some show and he'll say it was Trump's fault.
Yeah.
These guys are nothing more than glorified Monday morning quarterbacks who are more than happy to tell you how to do things, but are never really contributing to the actual, you know, success of the party. And we should ignore these people, you know, most of the time.
Well, you can't ignore them when all the money is behind them. There's no ignoring.
Well, people. I mean, the money is behind what? A ballot initiative to lower taxes once in a while? Big
deal.
No.
Right.
Big freaking deal.
No, they throw a lot of money.
You're talking about primaries. But Caldera doesn't handle the primaries. He just he puts his think tank up to, you know, put out propaganda. But that's beyond the point. I mean, these guys, they shouldn't be taken seriously because they've said this before. Everything they've said after this election, they said it 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago. Do it our way, and we'll win. And they've been wrong the whole time.
Well, and exactly, and one of the persons is on our, in our chat section is saying, you know, it's a PSYOP. And it is a PSYOP, right? They not, and as you said, Dave, not one of them actually talks about the kinds of things we all know we need to do to maybe win an election or two in Colorado. Instead, they want to blame everything on Trump, on the MAGA Republicans, on the populist movement, essentially. These are people who are controlled by the donor class and the establishment who don't want to give up power. They want to continue holding on to power and money.
Yeah,
and anybody...
That's absolutely right. These guys, their nests are already feathered. Like Jimmy, he's got a job. He's got the donors are giving him one. John Caldera, he's got a job. All these guys, they have a job, and they don't care. They don't care that Colorado's going to hell in a handbasket as long as they keep getting their paycheck.
Right.
You know, they're more than happy to opine and put into an opinion article how they think things should work, even though it doesn't work in the real world. As long as they get a paycheck, right? I mean, I kid you not. If I were as wealthy as John Caldera and I called up Phil Anschutz, and I called up Caldera and I said, "Hey, I'll pay you double what Phil Anschutz is paying you." He'd be like, whatever you want, Dave.
I hate those open primaries. We need to force them.
As he calls himself, he's a red meat conservative.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I bet. I mean, I have no tolerance for these people anymore because it's so damn obvious what they're doing. They're, you know, they're trying to put food on their table and increase their bank accounts. I mean, okay, go ahead and do that. But don't sit there and tell me that you're some principled conservative because it's clear that you're not.
Right. No, and then tell the rest of us what you do. Well, and here, just I was looking at this week. This is what the last legislative gets us. This is what happens when Republicans lose. And we listen to these rhinos tell us how to do things that never works. So we have in January across the state, a 10-cent plastic bag fee is going into effect at all stores. Not only that, the price of eggs is going to go up. The legislature passed all chickens in Colorado. All the eggs have to be cage free. Right. And so, I mean, that's just a little example of how it's going to be hitting everybody in the pocketbook directly because we let the Democrats control things and the rhinos tell us, oh, it's your fault, it's your fault, and it's never their fault, right? And we've got Charlene is raising her hand. Oh, go ahead, David, then we'll go to Charlene. Go ahead.
No, it's just the rhinos, they don't care. I mean, I guess that's what I would stress to your audience is that, you know, why? I mean, you ask yourself, why do they do these things or why do they allow the Democrats to win? And it's because they don't care. As long as they got a seat at the table and a paycheck going to their account, they don't care. They're happy with someone else having power so long as they can feather their own nests. And if we're going to win as a party, we need to get these people unelected.
Right. All right. Charlene, go ahead. I think I know what you're
going to
say, Charlene.
Okay, to me, it sounds like an open season on Patriots, and the left are using the rhinos to take them out. And the rhinos are willing and complicit, and, you know, some could even be hired guns. So, you know, I'm saying, why don't we use the left to take the rhinos out? The rhinos, I mean, the exit doors are open. We can still get out of this party alive. And maintain our unity. I mean, you know, they haven't shut the doors on us. But, you know, the thing is, the only thing I see is any leverage right now is for everyone to unaffiliate from the Republican Party. The news, the Caldera, his little opinion pieces, wherever they're printed, the Denver, whatever the name of that newspaper is, Post, they'll say, oh, look, the Republican ranks are diminishing, they're dwindling. They've only got 100,000 in the state of Colorado. Then the Republicans will be embarrassed. No, then the rhinos will be embarrassed.
They've gone down from election
day. She means to zero.
Zero.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, 50,000. And then the unaffiliated and a big outreach to bring the unaffiliated into a constitutional party or into a winning party or into a American party or make a big push because we've got the numbers on our side, and I mean we're being abused daily, and so you know it's going to take something like that because the Republicans can go around saying we represent all the Republicans when only they represent maybe about 5% of the real Republicans in the state of Colorado. So, I mean, I just, you know, I'm just kind of like there's freedom out there, and we can get out of this mess, because we have tried to take it back for 6 years, and we're not taking it back. They are picking us off one by one. And yes, I just hate to see it happen. And I want to see some action, because we don't want to keep this Republican Party, because it is not our party anymore.
Okay. Thank you. I can't disagree with that.
Because I don't agree that we should get rid of the Republican Party. On the other hand, I do find myself having a harder and harder time coming up with a counter to your plan.
Here's the truth. If the Rhinos keep control of the party and they keep doing what they've been doing and double down, then you don't, Charlene, anyone, you guys don't have to worry about anything, because there's going to be more and more unaffiliated, and there's going to be less and less trust in our brand and our party, and it will just happen over the course of time, right? Yeah. I mean, if we want to turn it around, we have to get different leaders, you know, in there that will actually, you know, we don't have to agree 100% of the time, but if they're honest and they have character and they at least want to follow the rules and support our platform generally, we'll do better. I guarantee you we'll do better if we do that.
Well, and Dave, you know, they must be a little worried, because the Caldera piece, so Peg Cage and there are several groups out there on coming up with ways to help get more PCPs, I mean, to work within the system, to do things to actively try to take control of the party, right? Give the grassroots some more power. And that's working. And I got to wonder if that's why, you know, this, all these pieces about, oh, they're about to be taken over by the rabble rousers or the lilas, you know, if they're maybe a little bit worried that this might work.
Of course. I mean, think about it. These guys spoke. I mean, Chuck talked about this. Oh, if you just do this, then we'll win. We have such an opportunity. These guys, Jimmy, John Caldera, any other Republican pundit, Rhino that you can think of, saying, "Oh, we have a great opportunity. We're going to win the Senate, gain seats." These guys were so wrong. They were so dead wrong. Mm-hmm. Now they got to justify themselves. They have to justify to the people why it wasn't their fault. It was Donald Trump was the problem, even though he wasn't on the ballot. Donald Trump wasn't on the ballot, and Democrats will even admit this, that it's sort of a foolish argument to make. They weren't on the ballot. Joe Day did everything he could, for example, to say, "I'm not Donald Trump. I'm not with him."
Right.
Yet he still got his ass kicked. I mean, it's foolishness. They want to blame everyone but themselves, and that's another big problem we have in our party, is that it's leaders don't actually want to take stock in their actions. They want to point the finger at anyone else because, God forbid, they may have made a mistake.
Well, to realize that most of the Republicans are now conservative areas are elected by Democrats. Mike Lynch is from a heavy Republican district. Gabe Evans is another one. But they got elected with Catherine Murdoch money over real conservatives. So you have, other than, you know, Stephanie Luck and the guy who you promoted to replace you and a couple others, it is a Rhino Republican legislative leader, Senator Lundeen and all the rest of them. I think there's one or two that might be conservatives, but they're this very close to the Democratic Party. And why they just don't join the Democratic Party, I mean, you know, I asked you earlier today, saying, you in Wyoming, the Democrats are nowhere except the moderate Democrats joining with the Democrats and they control the state. They control, not the conservatives do not control Wyoming, even though it's 90% Republicans, the Democrats along with the moderates. So why couldn't the Republicans join the conservative or at least more corporate Democrats? And the answer is they're not smart enough, and they probably wouldn't let them.
The answer is it might happen, Chuck. I mean, it's like, look, you're asking me why people who vote with Democrats half the time don't just simply become Democrats. The answer is because they know that district will only elect a Republican, right? I mean, they're in it for political power. They don't care how they're elected as long as they get elected. And right now, if you live in that geographic area, you better be a registered Republican. That's all they know. As the demographics change, I guarantee you, so will the party affiliations. So it's, you know, it's
just look at Kevin Priola.
A great example. Great example. Kevin Priola, right? The demographics changed as such where he couldn't be a moderate Republican anymore. He had to be a moderate Democrat. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah. Well, this is from, maybe after we got Dave Goh, I'll read some of the comments. We've had great comments. Well, you know, there is not much difference when you get right down to it because they want the same thing between the establishment rhinos and the Democrats. Really.
And you can confirm that. But just go to Colorado Politics and see what all the stories are and see what all their thing is. And it's a few moderate Republicans and everything else is left wing. And that's funded by Phil Anschutz. I mean, it's no different than the Denver Post, except for, you know, they'll let John Caldera have a column in the Denver Post.
The Denver Post won't let him have a column. Well, Dave, one of the things that discourages me, and I'm hopeful that we might be able to, you know, take over, the grassroots might be able to start taking a bigger role or getting at least some positions in leadership in the state Republican Party. But what do you see as possible ways forward? Are there any?
We have to take advantage of the opportunities that are before us. I mean, the truth is we're not going to be able to win a majority in the next 4 years. And right. I think the Republican Party, whoever runs for the party chair especially, they need to be honest about that. They can't keep lying to folks saying, if you just give us $10,000 more, then we're going to win everything, right? I mean, those kind of donation solicitations are disingenuous, especially now. What I would say is a good start is we need to take over, you know, the political or the Republican Party with grassroots leaders who will do things honestly and fair. And then we need to, as we pivot into 2023, we need to look for, you know, local races that we can win, especially school board, city council, and you know, those types of races. And then 2024, you know, look for opportunities where we can make some gains. And obviously there are a number of gains, right? You can CD8, Congressional District 8, you can win that, right? I mean, I didn't really care for Barb Kirkmeyer, but she almost won. She almost won that race.
Peggy Probst almost won.
Republicans can win that.
You know, I mean, you're right. All right, listen, Dave, we will let you go. Thank you for...
You're great, Dave, as always.
Well, people need to know what's going on behind the scenes because it very much affects what else happens down the road. So,
right. You bet. I'm happy to come on anytime.
Okay. All right, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
Well, it's kind of amazing because there really is, we can try to take over the party. And quite frankly, if you can't take over the party, I'm not sure it's a party worth supporting at all. You're getting closer to Charlene's.
Charlene has been preaching this for a while. And I keep, I mean, there's something in me that just, and I kind of, I have no argument really against it. It's, except for, you know, the infrastructure is there and we can maybe take it over. And I think we can. I mean, I think that's why there are a lot of these articles coming out. I mean, for folks who don't, the way kind of the party is structured in Colorado, you have, it sort of starts in the neighborhoods, right? And so you go to the caucus meetings and then you elect what you call your precinct committee persons. And then it kind of grows from there and then they can vote for the county party leadership. And then from there, you can vote to get people on the central committee, which is roughly 500 people. And from there, you get to be voted on sort of that, what's it, 20 people or something like that, sort of the inner
exactly.
circle.
You don't get elected from
the central committee. I mean, you know, we are making inroads on that. And I think that
we are, huh? Okay.
We must because that's what they're writing about now, right? It's true. They want to squash it. But I think that kind of thing is doable. The problem is, as anything, it takes time and effort and energy. And, you know, particularly when they're making money off of it, right? When they're consultants and they're part of all of that, they
make
money.
How can anybody hire any of these consultants?
They don't lose at all.
They don't win at all.
They don't win. They don't lose. That's right. We got so many things here. Charlene, the only thing that this is no good point, more pitiful than a crooked rhino is a patriot that talks about the abuse and comes back for more. Well, Charlene, again, we're going to have to change topics. No. And there's talk here about, you know, I want to say, mention people are helping Casper's helping getting some help from rhinos. I think what Casper's doing is good with his, I mean, he has some good ideas and he at least is willing to talk about it. To me, anybody who wants to be a leader in this party, who isn't willing to at least talk about the issues of ballot harvesting, who isn't at least willing to talk about election integrity, who isn't at least willing to talk about phantom voters, things like that, who isn't willing to talk about money, who isn't willing to talk about the fact that, you know, like Dave said, you know, no, we're not going to get somebody elected to the Senate probably. So quit saying, give us more money. That's what we need to look for in leaders. I think you can screen people pretty quickly, don't you think?
Sometimes, sometimes not. Christy Burton Brown, you know, was with the FAC and with very, you know, conservative people and said all the right things and ran against Scott Gessler and she won and she couldn't mm-hmm. have been more establishment if she tried. Mm-hmm. I do think we are getting somewhat masochistic. I feel that way.
Talk about something fun like the border invasion.
Yeah, border invasion. Yay.
Topic. The Fox reporter, Bill Malugin, and a bunch of other people down there on the border. So this title, I always want to call it Title 9, but Title 42, right?
Title 42.
Which has to do with COVID and essentially not letting people into the country, expires next week. The president is not going to do the remain in Mexico. And what that is if people are coming, the people are coming across the border now for the most part are not people from Mexico. They're people from everywhere else. And there were pictures today of the Mexican police. So this is just over the weekend, right? Filling up 20 buses full of illegal immigrants from Nicaragua, from Ecuador, from all kinds of other countries, right? And then escorting them to the border where they stop in with these NGOs who are being funded by our tax dollars. And then they went across the border. I'm going to roll some video and then we'll talk about the Twitter files here too in a second. Chuck was like, I don't want to talk about the border. It's too depressing.
No, can't talk about the border.
Let me show you this video. And I'll describe the video for those of you who are listening. But this is video taken last night at the border in El Paso. If we could please roll the border video.
Here they all come.
So what you're seeing is essentially what they're calling the largest single group ever crossing illegally into the United States.
Which is really a small brook almost. The river, it comes up to your ankles.
In this group here, there were 1,000 people who walked across. Now, nobody is trying to tell them you have to go back. Nobody is doing anything. They're walking up. They're going to the Border Patrol places. And then they're essentially, some of them are coming to Denver. There's been several buses that have been shipped to Denver from these NGOs, right? And so, there was another thing that were like, I think it was the latest number I saw was up to like 8,000 over the past like 48 hours. People have come into the country. These pictures are just astonishing. No one cares, right? I mean, there's nobody stopping them. The people don't appear to be worried about getting caught. In fact, they're walking up to the Department
of Health. That's where you get your phone and everything else.
That's right.
Food stamps
and yet, I mean, there are so many repercussions. It's like, here, we want to go ahead and we want to worry about homeless. So where do we think all of these people are going to? You know, my guess is that the Democrats and the NGOs are getting contact information and these people are going to be getting ballots someday, right? Well, they won't be getting the ballots. Ballots will be mailed someplace in their names. Because you got to ask yourself, why did the Democrats want this to happen? All they could do is reinstitute what Trump did, the remain in Mexico, and say, you can't come in. I mean, you can apply through the asylum and the visa process, but you have to remain in Mexico. And I guarantee you that Mexico would not be letting them come into the country,
let's talk
right?
about something else. Can't stand this. I really can't stand
it. I mean, I think though.
I've been saying the same thing for you.
Understand. But I think it's important to see just to what extent it has grown.
We're really, really screwed.
Well, you're really, really,
really, okay. really screwed.
Else, there's some happy news there, a little bit.
Good news.
And feel free, you guys, anybody wants to unmic themselves, go ahead.
Give them the number.
888-627-6008. Over the weekend, there were more Twitter files. Just real quickly from Jacob. He's right. I saw it on Channel 4, too, said that Texas is going to be sending Denver 1,800 immigrants, various charitable groups. Right. And I think it's what we need to make a point of is, you know, Hickenlooper tried to blame this is a PR stunt by DeSantis and Abbott and all. But it wasn't. These are NGOs which are non-government organizations, which are funded by our tax dollars, right? Biden wants to send $3 billion more.
We can't take any more. No.
Twitter files.
All right.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Jacob.
Hey, Jacob.
What happened was I had a question about the lawsuit that Carrie Lake filed on whatever Friday. Is it correct that the district court judges in Colorado and in Arizona have to go to the people to be revoted in every so often?
Yes.
That's the state ones. Federal ones are appointed.
No, I know, but the state that they do have to go to be re-upped, they have to.
Right.
So if a judge were to say that, Carrie Lake, you're right, the system is rigged, and I'm a district court judge, am I not admitting that the very system that got me into this seat is rigged?
Well, that would be that. I imagine judges can do anything they want. They can look at the merits of this case and they could say, you know, she's only talking about the gubernatorial race. But I guess is your point here that no judge is going to do that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The judge will probably drop the case. She's muddying up the waters and they're not going to go for it.
That's right.
Well, and keep in mind, Jacob, I mean, there again, that part is a psyop too. It's clear there are issues with election integrity. I mean, that's been demonstrated over and over. But the Republican establishment is way too silent on this. But if you say anything about it, you're a denier. You're an election denier. You're inciting domestic terrorism, and you're going to have the FBI knocking on your door like they did to Tina Peters and Sharona Bishop, right? And do a raid on your house while your kids sit on the couch. If you're a judge, do you want to tackle that? I wish somebody would, but then it'll get appealed up, and
I was thinking they should just the judge should say, you know, this is really a federal matter because there was a Senate election on it too, and the congressional election. So maybe just raise it to the federal level, you know, wash my hands of it, and they could be more even handed about it.
That's such a luck of the draw with the judicial system. I have to admit,
not Colorado.
I do not hold out much hope for Carrie Lake's lawsuit. What I do hold out hope for is like some of these other lawsuits that at least as they file motions with it, a lot of times they can include information that otherwise might not get out. Now, not that NBC or CNN are
going to pick it up. I might get on Twitter.
We'll see it.
It'll be great.
So that's, I think, the best we can. I am afraid. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer here, but I think that's about the best.
You're saying that a lot these days.
I know.
I'm not worried about being a downer. I just,
realistic.
It's like running a stop sign and you're going to be judged by the crossing guard.
That's right. There you go.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Well, so the Twitter files showed basically these ones released by Barry Weiss. And I think the most exciting thing.
He's done a good job.
Musk.
Musk has done a good job because he didn't just release him himself. He gave him to sort of independent, somewhat rogue, and rogue's too strong a word, but independent journalist, Barry Weiss,
Matt Taibbi,
Schellenberger, and a few others. And he's smart because he just didn't have it to one. He gave it to TV at first, and then all left came screaming at TV. And now they got very wise. Oh, no, we got a terror hacker. Oh, Schellenberger, we hate him too. Oh, yeah.
And we're ignoring it. We're not going to report on it. But what this latest one, the latest dump was talking about the decision making that went into banning Trump permanently. And what's clear when you read these emails is a couple of things. Number one, that this was something this little cabal at the top of Twitter wanted to do for a long time, that they'd been just kind of looking for an excuse to do this. Secondly, it was clear from a lot of the employees that Trump didn't violate any of their policies. And then this cabal said, we don't care, we're going to ban him permanently anyway. And she kind of went through this whole thing about how other heads of state who had actually incited violence weren't banned. And so I think what's good about all of the stuff that's come out so far is it's not stuff that is surprising, but it's good that it's actual. You have the validation, right?
And
you
some people are complaining, I think, validly. We haven't heard enough about the government side of it, or they're meeting every week, and they're you got all these former Jeff Carlton and other former FBI
and CIA people are on and work for Twitter now in various security positions, right? Well, and that's why I know the conservative treehouse keeps talking about he's very suspicious about this, and I'm not. I think Elon Musk, with these dumps and these reporters, are doing the best they can. I think when you have all of these FBI people
of Sundance at times and been proven wrong. So
yeah, he's always right.
Somewhat hesitant about saying no, he's wrong.
But I think though, there has been information that's come out about the weekly meetings, I don't even call it pressure, because they didn't pressure him. They said, hey, you want us to ban Trump? And the FBI goes, oh, I'd love you to ban Trump. That'd be great. I mean, there wasn't any pressure. It wasn't like there was any arm twisting going on, right? These are all like-minded people. And it's very clear that there was this one group. Mostly probably all the other Twitter employees were busy getting lattes or meditating or playing games, ping pong or something like that. So they didn't realize this was all going on. But there was this very, intense group who Musk immediately fired, who basically
not enough of them.
No, basically turned Twitter into just a PR arm of whatever the Department of Homeland Security and the Democrats wanted to say. Basically, anybody they didn't agree with or they didn't like what they said, they were banned and suspended. Suspended and shadow banned and all of that stuff up to and including the president. And if they liked you and if you were given the part, if you were putting out the party line, well, then you could say and do anything you want. And that was all OK. And they would, if somebody asked them about it, they would find some convoluted reasoning for it.
Yeah. Johnny says Musk should move Twitter to Texas. I always thought Mobile, Alabama, they'd love it there. But
Jacob is saying even the talking heads are afraid of speaking. During an interview with Newsmax over the weekend, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani revealed that he gave Hunter Biden's laptop to prominent Republicans who refused to report on it. The comments were shocking, to say the least, considering the information was available in 2019, but several conservative news outlets failed to report on it despite having the evidence. The names of those people include John Solomon, Sean Hannity, and Mike Pompeo. Then Leo says, that's just elect Bernie so we can all talk in the breadlines. Yeah, there you go.
I agree.
I think, though, what the other hint, though, that Musk dropped involved Anthony Fauci.
Right.
And it wasn't just, it was Anthony Fauci specifically. I mean, Elon Musk has been on. I mean, he doesn't.
He's on Twitter all the time now. And he said, my new pronouns, prosecute Fauci.
And then somebody was saying, why don't you release the discussions on COVID? And you said, oh, that's coming big time. And Elon Musk, I think, does not overpromise, right? I mean, he's indicating clearly that there is information in the Twitter files, so to speak, that would, and I'm assuming what he means by that Fauci is crossing the government line and it's violating the law by telling the Twitter people what to do and what to take up and what to take down, which we all assume, right? I don't think the people at YouTube are like, that ivermectin, I think that's dangerous. I mean, they never even heard of ivermectin, right? I mean, so I it's pretty obvious they were taking their marching orders from the government and all of that.
Yeah, and including Anthony Fauci, who's telling to take down this, take down that. Don't let him say anything about the Wuhan lab. And he is such a foul thing. And every once in a while, the left-wing press tries to resuscitate him. What a brave servant. He's been working for us for, decades.
Here's the question. Everybody, raise your hand, though, if you think anyone's ever going to be held accountable for this. No, that's great that some of the guys in Congress are saying, well, we're going to hold hearings on it because at least it gets the information out there. Right. And it makes it, you can cite the information. Is Merrick Garland going to, Bill Ray, are they going to investigate? I mean, they were the ones telling him what to do. Right. I mean, as long as they stay in power. And I think, Bill Barr, we had hopes for Bill Barr for a while.
That's a joke.
He should have known all of this was going on. I mean, I'm imagining somebody, because this was going on when Trump was president. And that's astonishing to me, too. This was going on Trump was there, right?
But below the cabinet level, if not including the cabinet level, they're all working for the Democrats.
Right, exactly. They're working for themselves.
No, working for the Democrats.
Jim says, anyone think Elon is a closet Trump supporter? He said that he would support DeSantis. But here's the thing. I think Elon Musk is a populist. I'd say that, you know. But to that point, though, here is why, you know, you keep reading all these things, the case for Trump, the case against Trump. I think some of this, to me, is the strongest case for Trump, because who would have thought that you would be the sitting president and pretty much everybody there, except for maybe Melania, you know, and Barron, were actively working against you and undermining you, working to get you banned from Twitter, working to politically, personally, financially harm you. I think, you know, DeSantis maybe reads about it, but Trump has been through it. And I think that's the biggest case for Trump, in that he gets it.
On our chat, we've had a lot of things about Casper, and we've got Casper on the line. So Casper, come on up.
Casper Stockham. Hey, thank you for listening and for raising your hand.
Yeah, sorry. I was just listening, but I heard my name mentioned a couple of times and I see the chat blowing up. So I wanted to clarify a couple of things.
I don't think your name got mentioned, but.
But anyway, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So first of all, I am not receiving, as of yet, any money from establishment, anybody that we would call Rhino or establishment. I am running a grassroots campaign, so I am looking for donations, but I have not received any from any establishment people. That's number one.
I'm glad you said that, because I would also, and in your defense, tragically, nor will you, you know, right. Because right. You represent everything they don't want to have happen to the Colorado Republican Party. Yeah. So,
and then there was a comment in the chat about my Unity project, and I don't have one. That's my platform. It's not a project, and it's definitely not being supported by anybody until I get to be chair. Then, you know, we can roll it out. But no, I'm not getting any support from the establishment or the party for any of that, because I could be running against their chair. So why would they support me on that?
Right. And here's what I'll say too, Casper, you are one of those persons who, you know, you're bona fide. You've been saying the same stuff, doing the same things. I don't think anyone should have any reason to doubt what you are telling us.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. So anyway, I don't want to hold up the show. I just wanted to chime in on that. So you guys.
Okay. Well, and where can let me give, where if people.
If you're not establishment and you want to give money to.
That's a Casper. Where can people help you and find out more?
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat as well. They can go to Casper4Colorado. It's forcolorado.com. You know, donate a few bucks, because I am trying to get to all 64 counties and I need gas money. So Casper4Colorado.com and click on donate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Casper. Thank you, Casper. Appreciate it. Yeah, sometimes we don't have time to get all of the, there's tons of, Charlene, are you receiving any help from the Republican Party? No, Charlene, because he's trying to take it over. And then Sandra says, good one, Casper. So thank you for coming on to that. Well, back to just for the final few minutes, though. I mean, you know, your thoughts on all of these things we're learning from Twitter, and not just Twitter, because it's not shocking that a bunch of, you know, Silicon Valley people didn't like Trump, but it is, I mean, we suspected it, but it is shocking to see to what extent he's theoretically in charge of the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, you know, the people that he appoints are there, they work right. for him, and they're actively working
for the Democrats
and against him, against the people who elected him. And again, to me, I think he gets that at a level no other candidate, you know, no other candidate can, right?
I agree. It's shocking. And what, you know, the power of Twitter, I never quite understood the power of Twitter, because I wasn't really a big Twitterer nor really particularly follow it. But, you know, when Twitter would go after somebody, well, there'd be no other, they'd just be left-wing viewpoints. So it always be, Twitter explodes against so-and-so. Well, that's right. Because the only ones left are left-wingers. So when Twitter explodes, it means the left-wing explodes.
Well, it's, again, what I said is part of the thing, the real scary thing about all the shadow banning and the permanent and temporary banning is, if you're a conservative, it would leave you with the opinion that there are no like-minded people out there, when actually there are millions of like-minded people out there. And that's what they had to keep us from realizing. They had to make us all think that we were like isolated little like crazy people and insurrectionists, right? And not realize that there are literally millions of people who look at things the exact same way. And that's what they're so upset about. And one of the other powers.
It was great. They had the always lovable Elton John said, I've always, my music's always united people. And I'm afraid misinformation is dividing people, so I'm leaving. And Elon Musk said, oh, love your music. Hope you come back. Oh, what misinformation? So we can know. What's the information that you think ought to be suppressed and not allowed? What's that?
Well, and keep in mind, their misinformation, the Twitter people and the Facebook people, so they, at such an incestuous little circle, their fact checkers are actually funded by Democrats and the Democrat Party and now the federal government. And so they're left, they're not real fact checkers. They'd be like, you know, well, they're Democrats. They're political operatives.
There
is what
no
they
are. Real fact
checkers. No. I mean, and
they're anywhere, not the Washington Post, not anywhere else.
Fact checking. Yeah. Right? Anybody can do it too. It's like, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And so I think it'll be interesting to see what comes out with the COVID stuff, though, because that's one thing they still are trying to crack. I can't believe every time I see an ad that tells me to get a booster. And then next to it, you see this story about like the exploding number of deaths in Germany. It's like, what would that after, you know, right after all of the booster shots? It's like no one, and here's the thing, no one's getting the booster shots, right? So that is when people are doing their own fact checking there, right? People are saying, yeah, actually, I don't think I need to get a booster shot.
Let's see, Dr. Donna, I look forward to chatting. I'm starting training right after the first for that and this weekend for reading and using the legislative calendar. Did Dr. Donna, did you win your race?
No, I don't think so. No, but she's doing her own training.
Oh, I see.
You've missed some of the things. Dr. Donna has a training group too. Yeah. Go ahead.
I did not win the race, and there's a big, long story behind that.
Okay.
Jacob gave me some info on that, and I'm going to be following up with that. Thank you.
All right. We'll keep us posted then. And you're right. Your question, how many boosters now? Number 2009. Exactly. It's like, who can even keep track?
All right. It's end of Monday, Manic Monday, and we'll be leaving you till Wacky Wednesday.
That's right. Hey, I want to thank Dave and everybody who chimed in, all of the great comments there. You can catch all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. And we're on, you know, we're on every podcast format that you can look at.
Banned other than YouTube.
Other than YouTube. We were banned from them a year and a half ago, but we are on Rumble. And we're also on Substack.
Rumble's growing and growing, so that's great.
That's great. So anyway, and thank you to the wonderful guys at BBS. We will see everybody on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.